ப்ரெக்னெண்ட்டாக இருக்கும்போது அவங்க ஒர்க் அவுட் செய்யலாமா? இது நிறைய பேரோட கேள்வி.
டியூரிங் ப்ரெக்னன்சி தெர் ஆர் மெனி சேஞ்சஸ் இன் த பாடி. இட் இஸ் டெஃபினெட்லி அ டைம் ஆஃப் சேஞ்ச் ஃபார் விமென். அண்ட் வென் தே ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ஃபைண்ட் அவுட் தேர் ப்ரெக்னென்ட், தேர்ஸ் அ லாட் ஆஃப் ஃபியர். பட் வி டெஃபினெட்லி என்கரேஜ் விமென் டு எக்ஸசைஸ். எக்ஸசைஸ் இஸ் இம்பார்ட்டண்ட். ஸ்ட்ரென்த் இன்க்ரீஸ் வரும், ஃப்ளெக்சிபிலிட்டி இன்க்ரீஸ் வரும். பட் ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ட்ரைமெஸ்டரில் தெர் ஆர் லாட் ஆஃப் ஃபியர்ஸ். வாட் கைட்லைன்ஸ் ரெக்கமெண்ட் இஸ் there is no need to stop exercising at all. You continue 80% of what you were doing before you found out you were pregnant. Low impact, moderate intensity. There are so many exercises you can do in a gym that will maintain your muscle volume, that will maintain your strength. The only things you must not do in the first trimester is deep squats.
Okay.
Anything that increases the pressure on the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
will possibly, you know, we don't know the position of the placenta.
Mm-hmm.
Inside womb, you know, kolanda irukku, but placenta irukku. Where the position is it down, is it low lying? All of this we can only find out at about 11 weeks into the pregnancy.
Okay.
But always there's a question, before that, should I completely stop? We don't recommend completely stopping, because the impact of deconditioning is more than the impact of continuing exercise.
Okay.
The danger around exercise. So definitely you should continue strength training as long as it is a low risk pregnancy.
Okay. So the reason why I asked you this question, ipa enter nariya clients varangana, generally girls they feel a little insecure and the body changes varumbodhu, because nariya perukku there is nobody to give them proper guidance. So
yeah.
End of the day enna avudna, nariya per who are in a sedentary lifestyle romba fastaga weight gain avudunum bodhu, they meet a gynecologist who says வாக்கிங் பண்ணுமா, கொஞ்சம் வெயிட் குறை அப்படின்னு ஒன்று. தே வாண்ட் டு ஸ்டார்ட் ஜிம்மிங். ஸோ அந்த மாதிரி கேசஸில் த ரெக்கமெண்டேஷன் தட் ஐ கிவ் இஸ் ப்ரெக்னன்சிக்கு முன்னாடி இஃப் யூ ஆர் ஒர்க்கிங் அவுட்
டெஃபினெட்லி
தென் ஸ்டார்டிங் இஸ் அ குட் ஐடியா.
யா.
அப்படி இல்லை அப்படின்னா யூ ஷுடன்ட் பி ஸ்டார்டிங் வெயிட் லிஃப்டிங் ஆஸ் அ எக்ஸசைஸ். ரொம்ப லோ இம்பேக்ட் லோ இன்டென்சிட்டி எக்ஸசைஸில் ஸ்டார்ட் பண்ணி யூ ஹாவ் டு தென் கண்டினியூ அப்படின்றது. அண்ட் சி தெர் இஸ் ஒன் கான்ட்ரடிக்டரி thing that you said based on my belief. என்ன அப்படின்னா, நிறைய ப்ரெக்னன்சி அப்போ இப்போது இந்த ஊரில் வில்லேஜ்லலாம் வந்து இந்த பார்ட்டிங்கெல்லாம் வந்து சொல்லுவாங்க, ஸ்குவாட்டட் பொசிஷனில் உட்காந்து எல்லா வேலையும் செய்யு, தட் இஸ் கோயிங் டு ஹெல்ப் யூ உனோட ஹிப் போன் மூவ் ஆகிறதுக்கு ஹெல்ப் பண்ணும். டீப் ஸ்குவாட்ஸ் அவாய்ட் பண்ணணுன்றது நீங்கள் மீன் பண்ணுறது ஆஸ் அன் எக்ஸசைஸா, இல்லை ஸ்குவாட்டிங் பொசிஷனே அவாய்ட் பண்ணுமா ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ட்ரைமெஸ்டர்?
நோ, திஸ் இஸ் ஒன்லி இன் த ஃபர்ஸ்ட் ட்ரைமெஸ்டர். வென் யூ ஆர் எக்ஸசைசிங் யூ வாண்ட் டு அவாய்ட் டீப் ஸ்குவாட்டிங் பொசிஷன் அஸ் அ ஃபார்ம் ஆஃப் எக்ஸசைஸ். சி, டெக்னிக்கலி ஸ்பீக்கிங் வி கோ த்ரூ தீஸ் மூவ்மெண்ட்ஸ் வென் யூ யூஸ் த பாத்ரூம், when you you know sit and get up. Traditionally people used to sit on the floor and do cooking, squat and do cooking. So it's not so much the movement, but until we know the position of the placenta, putting too much pressure on the pelvic floor, we can't predict who will, you know, have an incident that could be a problem.
Okay.
So even outcomes around pregnancy were not so good before until we could identify some of these things.
Okay.
So to be careful, when you do your activities of daily living, ella panna mudiyum, you should do everything. But when you know you're pregnant, there are many exercises you can do, even, you know, half squats, you can do lunges. But sitting in a deep squatting position, especially in yoga, we do a lot of deep squats.
Okay.
So if you can avoid those positions, it is better. You can use a support. Squat over a yoga block.
Okay.
Instead of squatting in a suspended position.
Okay.
Yeah, just that.
Okay. So squat over a yoga block na avanga solradhu is something like nama box squat gym la pandra maadhiri she is explaining. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Po oru step munnadi porom. Po nariya girls vandu po marriage aanavune iniki doesn't just happen. Ellarume avangalukku baby birth abindrada they plan for baby birth.
Yeah.
So it is not like, okay, people got married and then they deliver one baby every 16-18 months nu illama avangaloda life settle avaradhukku wait panni they go for a baby. Based on your experience, if somebody is planning for a baby and the couple ku, what is it that you recommend? I know your background is completely Pilates and yoga, so what kind of activity do you recommend? அடுத்து அவங்களுக்கு டு யூ கிவ் தெம் எனி கைண்ட் ஆஃப் லைஃப் ஸ்டைல் ரெக்கமெண்டேஷன், டயட் ரெக்கமெண்டேஷன், என்ன கொடுப்பீங்க?
Yeah, so when planning a pregnancy, plan pandranga in the time lab, both husband and wife, man and woman, need to take care of their bodies and their lifestyle. So the quality of the egg will improve with good lifestyle. Mm. It is honestly the kind of advice I would give my children. Get up on time, sleep on time, get a good night's rest, make sure you're eating at regular intervals, eat balanced meals, and exercise. Stress is a very big factor I'm finding nowadays with couples who are planning a pregnancy, because lifestyle is such that they sleep late, maybe work pressures. It could be because of being on the phone all the time, the blue light. All of that can really impact pregnancies. So for someone who is planning a pregnancy, this is a very big lifestyle change. You're bringing a baby into the world. So it's very important to put all of those systems into place at least 6 months to 1 year before you even reach that point where you start, you know, actually planning around this. And specifically with regard to the physical health, I would say if you have a history of back pain, if you have a history of recurrent injuries, both for husband and wife, it is a good time to get strong. You know, resolve the back pain issues if it's present, and build strength on top of that so that you're building on a very strong foundation. Because once you become pregnant, the center of gravity changes. The body is going to start shifting forward. To balance that weight, the lower back has to take the impact. Because of all of these postural changes, if you already have a weak back, like a history of a disc injury or, you know, a significant injury I'm talking about especially, it is going to creep up into your pregnancy and prevent you maybe from, you know, exercising if it's chronic back pain. So I would say definitely ensuring that you have built up that strength and built up the ability of your body to adapt to all of these changes, it will help with supporting a pregnancy.
Even I had a couple of podcasts with the medical community. அதுலேயுமே வந்து என்ன எவ்ரிபடி ஃபீல்ஸ் இஸ் ஸ்ட்ரெஸ் வந்து அந்த கான்ஸ்டண்ட்டாக இஸ் ப்ரெஸ்ஸிங் யுவர் ஹார்மோன்ஸ் வேர் நம்மளோட தேவையில்லாத ஹார்மோன்ஸ் இந்த அன்வான்ட் டைம் சம்திங் லைக் கார்டிசால் யுவர் அட்ரினலின் இதெல்லாம் ரைஸ் ஆகும்போது இந்த ஸ்டீராய்டு ஹார்மோன்ஸ் லைக் டெஸ்டோஸ்ட்ரான் ஈஸ்ட்ரோஜன் இது எல்லாமே சப்ரெஸ்ட் விச் மீன்ஸ் the quality of the man and woman அப்படின்றது குறையுது அப்படின்னும்போது the chances of getting the baby itself is going down.
Yes.
The fertility rate in our country is going down majorly because of stress அப்படின்றது. So very valuable. And when you say கொஞ்சம் ஸ்ட்ராங் ஆகணும் அப்படின்னும்போது do you have any specific way of training them? அதாவது இப்போது see because you are a specialist in this. இப்போ கெட்டிங் ஸ்ட்ராங்கர் அப்படின்றத நீங்கள் ஒரு பொண்ணுக்கு சொல்கிறீங்க ப்ரெக்னன்சி அப்போ இல்லை ஒரு ஃபாதருக்கு சொல்கிறீங்கன்னா என்ன மாதிரி எக்ஸசைசஸ் வுட் யூ டூ?
ஸோ இன் மை ஒர்க் ஐ மெயின்லி ஒர்க் வித் த மதர். ஆர் கோல் இஸ் டு மேக் ஷுர் ஐம் அ ஃபிசியோதெரபிஸ்ட், ஐம் அ பெல்விக் ஃப்ளோர் ஃபிசியோதெரபிஸ்ட், ஐ ஆல்சோ டூ தெரப்பியூட்டிக் யோகா. The combination of the two is what I'm focused on with regard to women's health. When we work with women in the preconception phase, we are looking at improving their strength of their pelvic floor.
Okay. Specifically. Before we go further, pelvic floor na enna?
So, the pelvic floor is the most important part of your core muscles.
Okay.
Okay, so when we talk about the core, we sometimes forget about the pelvic floor. It's the foundation. Okay, if you look at someone's hip, pelvis, right on the bottom, there is nothing but an empty hole.
Yes.
Okay, so all the pelvic organs can just fall down to the floor. If this group of muscles, it's not exactly one muscle, it's a group of muscles, it forms a support. And you can imagine in pregnancy time, you know, weight gain changes, the baby's weight, everything will sit on the pelvic floor.
Okay.
So this muscle is going to play a very, very important role in pregnancy. If the pelvic floor is not strong, there are three openings in the pelvic floor. The urethra. Urethra is where we pass urine from. Then the vaginal opening, where the baby will come out from. And then you have the rectum at the back. All three openings are in the pelvic floor. So during pregnancy, most women will say, I have never thought of my pelvic floor before. My pregnancy reminded me of its presence. There will be leaking when you cough and sneeze.
Okay.
Some women have a lot of pelvic pressure. During pregnancy, they can develop hemorrhoids. It's very common, piles. After delivery, we see prolapse as a very common problem related to the pelvic floor. When you push your baby out, if you're using incorrect pushing techniques, if you don't have strength to connect with your abdominals, if you don't know how to relax your pelvic floor, if you don't know how to hold and control your breath, all of this will literally push not only the baby, but also the uterus out of the vaginal opening. So these problems all set up. It's like it's a problem that starts in pregnancy and continues with you until menopause.
Okay.
And then unfortunately, we have to deal with some of these issues with surgery. So in my work, when I work with strengthening a woman, it's prehab. Before these problems even set in, we want to make sure we establish a strong foundation. The pelvic floor should work with the abdominal wall, should work with the muscles of the lower back, should work with the diaphragm. So it literally forms a square. In the front is the abs, in the back is the lower back multifidus, the main muscle. You have the pelvic floor below and you have the diaphragm on top. These canister muscles need to work in a way that it supports the pregnancy and prevents a future problem. Like incontinence is the main, there's prolapse. There are many other conditions that we don't normally hear about, like even dyssynergia or fecal incontinence, which is unfortunately very common in the postpartum. And, a lot of us are hardwired to solve a problem only after it presents itself.
Okay.
We want to make sure that women have a strong foundation before they plan a pregnancy and in pregnancy itself to prevent these problems that we know can become, there's a lot of stigma around it as well. Okay. So, yeah.
So when we were talking about the pelvic floor, I have had clients, ungalku enna problem varum appadina when they cough and sneeze. Avanga idhukku munadi baby delivery kuda pannadilla. These are all girls, but they have a leaking problem. Solution lies on strengthening the pelvic floor muscles appadinrathu. Now with the conversation, I understand. But is there any specific exercise these girls need to go through? When you say pelvic floor, I understand the organs of the stomach irukku, mala diaphragm or side la irukku, lower back muscle or side protect pannudhu, rectus abdominis, abdominal muscle or side, and then keela vandhu the entire weight is held by the pelvic floor muscle. Ipo that is where the leaking problem happens for girls. The prevent pannuna, is there any way they can activate these muscles?
Yes, absolutely. So, this is a very, very good question, because whenever we talk about the pelvic floor, first question people will ask me also, and I say I'm a pelvic floor therapist, they will say, oh, chare, and you teach Kegel exercises. So it's not just about Kegels. When we talk about Kegel exercises, you teach people to do Kegels lying down flat on their back.
Okay. But for the audience, what are Kegel exercises?
Okay, so Kegel exercises are exercises of the pelvic floor where you ask them to contract and relax the muscle. So first you have to teach people how to recognize which muscle it is, because it is a very internal muscle. Idha paaka mudiyadhu. So from outside enakku solla mudiyadhu the correct muscle contract pandranga or not. Okay. So I cannot really tell unless I do an internal exam sometimes whether they are utilizing the right muscle.
Okay.
Usually when people teach Kegels, they say just contract and relax, contract and relax. There is no guidance given around how to breathe, what position your body should be in. So when we do Kegels, it's usually taught lying down flat on the back, pelvic floor exercises. But we rarely use this muscle. The need for this muscle is rarely when you're lying down flat on your back.
Okay.
So all of these women that you're talking about, girls who want to exercise, who want to lift weights, they would be leaking when they lift something heavy, when they cough, when they sneeze. So when we rehabilitate the pelvic floor, we have to teach them first where the muscle is. We have to teach them how to contract it. We have to teach them how to breathe through the contraction. And then we have to teach them to do this in all the functional positions. So not just lying down flat on the back, but when you're squatting, when you're lunging, when you're jumping, what is your pelvic floor supposed to do to support your internal organs, to ensure that it doesn't accidentally open and allow a urine leakage? So that is what pelvic floor exercises are, and that's what I would recommend women who have stress urinary incontinence to learn, and it will help them.
Mm.
But the thing here is, incontinence is not only because of weakness of the pelvic floor.
Okay.
There are other forms of incontinence. For example, urge urinary incontinence, where, see, stress, you already said, when they cough, when they sneeze, when they jump, when they run, when they lift weights, they leak. Because there is an increase in the intra-abdominal stress. And because of that increase in the intra-abdominal stress, it will put pressure on the pelvic floor. If it is weak, the bladder opening will open and there will be an accidental leakage. During urge urinary incontinence, the pelvic floor is sometimes very tight. And this is very common in dancers. It is also common in weightlifters. It is common in cheerleaders, like people who, like volleyball players, people who jump and land all the time. And for them, they will have leakage with urgency. They want to suddenly go to the bathroom. Even before they reach the bathroom, they will leak.
Okay.
It's a different problem altogether. Now, if you teach these people Kegel exercises or pelvic floor exercises, the symptoms will get worse. It'll get worse. So when we have someone who says, I have leakage, like for example, in your when you're working with your clients, and if they say they leak urine, it's important to really differentiate what type of condition is causing the problem.
Okay.
And then giving the right exercises, either contraction or relaxation, to really help them improve.
Okay. So it's not like the general science applies. One solution does not
one
fit for all.
One size doesn't fit all, yeah.
Because I have had different cases. In fact, powerlifting or extreme sport.
Mm.
So powerlifting, especially women, when they try to lift a PR, அதுக்கு முன்னாடி அவங்க லிஃப்டே பண்ணாத ஒரு வெயிட்டை பண்ணும்போது ஆன் த ஃப்ளோர் வி சி தட் தே ஆர் ஜஸ்ட் யூரினேட்டிங் ஆன் த ஃப்ளோர் ஸ்குவாட் பண்ணும்போது டெட் லிஃப்ட் பண்ணும்போது திஸ் ஹேப்பன்ஸ். ஸோ என்னோட தாட் ப்ராசஸ் இதுக்கு முன்னாடி என்ன இருந்தது அப்படின்னா, தே ஆர் ஒர்க்கிங் ஆன் த என்டையர் பாடி அண்ட் ஸ்ட்ரென்த், தே ஆர் நாட் ஒர்க்கிங் ஆன் த பெல்விக் ஃப்ளோர் மசில்ஸ் அப்படின்றது இஸ் மை தாட். நவ் இட் குட் பி அ கம்ப்ளீட்லி டிஃப்ரெண்ட் சினாரியோ ஃபார் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் ஆத்லீட்ஸ் அண்ட் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் பீப்புள்.
குட் பி.
ஓகே ஓகே.
It's possible, and that's very interesting that you say that, because what they are doing there is using all their energy to contract their abdominal wall and lift without closing the pelvic floor. I think if that connection is taught...
No, but idu na yen vandu indha edathila eduthu varana, these are not people who, where it always happens.
Yeah.
Happens when they are attempting
a
record weight.
Yeah.
This
but,
happens.
But to be honest, when you're lifting that kind of weight, the pelvic floor is going to take the impact of it.
Okay.
You know, even marathon runners, long distance runners, after a point, their pelvic floor gives way during the run.
Okay.
Towards the end of the run, they will start saying that they have some fecal incontinence, some urinary incontinence. Mm-hmm. They stop drinking fluids through the run because they are worried that they will leak.
Okay.
All of these problems we need to resolve from a foundation standpoint.
Okay.
And it is possible to heal it, definitely. We shouldn't be seeing some of these. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, ipo, let's get back into the topic. So, first trimester, la vandu nama vandu deep squat panna kudadu abindrada paathom. So, there is a second semester, trimester, and then the third trimester. Specifically, enna na advice kudupinga inda trimester? Second trimester, na enna advice kudupinga? Third trimester, na enna advice kudupinga?
So in the first trimester, our goal is to maintain strength. So whatever you're doing, about 80% you can continue doing. Just be a little careful with certain movements, like we already discussed. Second trimester, it is the golden period. In this period, women don't have so many symptoms. First trimester, they will have nausea, vomiting. That itself will sometimes limit them. Like right now, I have two or three very strong women who are coming to me for yoga in the first trimester, and they've been lifting heavy. One of them is she's a yoga teacher herself. But in the first trimester, they have so many symptoms, they are not able to exercise, and they are very disappointed because, you know, one of them just told me recently, in fact, I used to look at women who are pregnant and wonder why they are acting so delicate. Now I understand. It really depends. We call it rate of perceived exertion. What do you perceive as being difficult, that makes you breathless. Mm. That's all you can do in the first, second and third trimesters as a rule. But in the second trimester, usually all these symptoms improve. Okay. It's called the golden period. So this is a period of building strength.
Okay.
In the time la maximum evlo panna mudiyo you should do in the term in terms of increasing muscle volume, increasing, I wouldn't say muscle volume, but maintaining muscle volume. If you're lifting, you can lift, you should be able to breathe through the lift.
Okay.
You should not breath hold in pregnancy.
Okay. So Valsalva movement you have to avoid.
Correct. You should not have to hold your breath to lift the weight. So if you're lifting heavy, you will have to drop the weight just enough to be able to breathe through the lift. And that much is enough. If you're doing yoga, all the movements that you do should not include breath holding.
Okay.
Even in yoga, we have certain transitions that require you to hold your breath. Second trimester, you can build strength, you can build flexibility, but you need to avoid exercises that will lead to a possible fall. That's all. Like in yoga, we avoid inversions completely unless it is supported by a teacher.
Okay.
You can do it, but you have to be supported by a teacher. Safety is very important. Second trimester, we work with a lot of back and pubic pain. It is common. It creeps up on the best of us. Even if you are very strong, a lot of women will have tailbone pain. Especially weightlifters, I find in pregnancy, they end up developing tailbone pain. Mainly because of a very tight pelvic floor, again. So it's important for us to work on all of... See, pain is not normal. Sometimes these women are told it's normal. Pregnancy time, you will have some pain. You just rest it out. After delivery, it will go away. Pubic pain, it should not be there. If there's pain, it means that your body is giving you a warning and you have to fix it. So once you fix that pain, in the second trimester, typically it's a great period to continue with your workouts and to build strength. Third trimester, we become very specific. We start working on positioning the baby for birth.
Okay.
Between the 28th week and the 32nd week, we really focus on bringing the baby's head down in a cephalic position. We call it cephalic. So it needs to present first. The baby should be facing in towards the spine. It's called occiput anterior. Back of the baby's head, the occiput should be anterior to the mother's body. And we work on engagement, which means we want to get the baby's head to fix into the mother's pelvis.
Okay.
When these three things happen, it improves her chances of having a relatively stress-free labor and delivery process.
Okay, just curious question. But you said baby or head to position, the head has to come down and all those things. How do you identify with your clients? Baby or head position margin? Is it with the scans you identify or you have signs with which you identify?
Both, both. We identify this, of course, in the 28th week, usually there is a scan. The next scan is in the 32nd week. In between, there are no scans. 28th week scan, if they tell you head is down, it is not accurate because baby is very small and the baby can be somersaulting inside. Yeah. On the day you went to take the scan, the baby was in a breech position. Or on the day you went to take the scan, the baby was cephalic. But this can change on a daily basis. Around 32 weeks, the baby runs out of space. It becomes a very tight fit. So if the baby is head down, baby will stay head down. If the baby is breech in the 32nd week scan, then we work on baby positioning exercises, especially to bring the baby's head down.
Okay.
Now, between 28 to 32 weeks without, there is no way to really, without a scan, tell which position the baby is in. After 32 weeks, up to if the baby was identified to be in non-cephalic or in breech position, again, we might want to take a look late pregnancy, around 38 weeks, to see if the baby's turned. At this time, we are completely blind. So what we do is we do look at movements, how the baby is moving in the womb, and we can map the position of the baby inside.
Okay.
Okay. So wherever the big movements are, big kicks, if it's in the rib cage up over here, we know that that's where the legs are. And yeah, and most mothers will say the baby is kicking on both sides. How is that possible? So it's usually baby kicking from one side and the bum nudging into the other side. Because they usually have their legs here, the bum is here and the head is down.
Okay.
And then these mothers will find small movements down in the pelvis, like scraping. That's usually the baby's hands poking.
Okay.
So that's when we usually, with some amount of accuracy, we are able to tell that this is how the baby is positioned mm-hmm. and baby is possibly turned in the womb. If the baby is in a breech position, then the big movements are down, very mm-hmm. close to the pubic area. Mm-hmm. And they'll feel all the smaller movements up closer to the ribcage.
Yeah.
So that's called belly mapping. And we do that in between two scans just to reassure the mother of the baby's position. Yeah.
Okay, so in the period, Lana, you teach them the breathing and how to push the baby out,
correct.
All those things, right?
Correct.
So,
I did not finish that. So between the 28th and the 32nd week, mm-hmm. we position the baby for birth.
Mm-hmm.
32 weeks to 36 weeks, we work on opening up the pelvis, like a lot of focused exercises to open the top of the pelvis
mm-hmm.
to engage the baby's head into the womb.
Okay.
And between 36 weeks and 40 weeks, until the point that you deliver, mm-hmm. we really work on opening the bottom of the pelvis mm-hmm. to ensure that the baby is going to be able to fit in properly and, you know, it just improves the way you breathe. And yes, all the labor breathing exercises, partner support exercises, mm-hmm. all of these things we incorporate into the yoga program.
Okay. In villages, we earlier had this concept of family where everybody lived together. Now it's all nuclear.
Yeah.
Which means the matriarch of the family is not there to give you advice when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Most of the cases. In that case, what are all the basic tips you would give to these girls who are pregnant and don't know what to do?
Yeah. So to put it very simply, I would say you should do a little bit for your mind, a little bit for your body, and a little bit for your baby to have a safe pregnancy. So if we talk about mind, sometimes stress can be a very big factor in pregnancy. Stress can come from many sources. Mm. It can be from fear of, you know, just something happening in the pregnancy. Sometimes there are fears around parenting. Am I going to be able to manage my new responsibility, new role? There can be tension, family tensions. We know that this stress can translate to the mother's body, can translate to the baby. So I would advise women who are expecting right now, the one thing for them to do is to sit in a quiet place and practice some kind of mindfulness. It doesn't have to be closing your eyes and meditating.
Mm-hmm.
It can be simply sitting in a quiet place and journaling, writing down their thoughts, their feelings. It really, really helps connect with the process of pregnancy. It brings a sense of calm. The second thing I would say for the mother's body is definitely to be pain-free. This is not a time to carry pain into the labor room or into your postpartum. After delivery, there is going to be no time to pay attention to the mother's body.
Mm.
The whole focus shifts to the baby. And this is true wherever you are, whether you're in Chennai or in the peripheries. So wherever you are, unfortunately, everyone forgets about the mother. The focus goes to the baby. So this is a good time for the mother to be pain-free and to build a good amount of strength in her arms, in her legs, in her core. Core exercises are absolutely okay in pregnancy. Like I said, as long as you're not holding your breath.
Okay, so somebody has never done exercise. Avangalukku core exercise, now what would you recommend?
Breathing is a core exercise.
Okay.
Simply breathing and learning to contract the transverse abdominis muscle, which is the muscle that is closest. There are four layers of muscles in the abdominal wall. The one that is closest to the spine is the TA, the transverse abdominis. So we usually say, take a deep breath in. As you exhale, give your baby a hug with your own abdominal muscles, right? So that simple exercise can actually help with incontinence. It can help, of course, if the pelvic floor is also engaging with the abs, co-engagement. It can help with preventing diastasis recti, which is very common, that mommy
abdominal
pooch.
Split. Yeah.
Yes, the mommy pooch that they call these days. But technically the term is diastasis recti abdominis. It can protect you from back pain because engagement of the core muscles is essential. Now, with that core engagement, you can learn how to move.
Okay.
So that, I would say, is very important to learn in pregnancy. If there's one exercise I would tell a mother to learn, it is how to engage her pelvic floor and transverse, how to give your baby a hug using these muscles, and then how do you move your arms and legs, keeping that core engagement. Simple form of working out. You can do dumbbells with it, or you can do kettlebells with it. even in pregnancy. If she has never exercised before, simple arm movements without any weights.
Okay.
Which is what we do in yoga, mm-hmm. which is what we do in Pilates. For the baby, so this is mind, body and baby. For the baby, I would say exercises to position the baby for birth, mm-hmm. to make sure the baby comes into an optimal position, are very important so that if she is looking, I mean, most women today are hoping for a natural, non-medicated birth, mm. as natural as possible without any medical interventions. Mm. If the baby is head down in a cephalic position, if the baby is an occiput anterior, which is baby should be looking towards the mother's spine. Mm. And if the baby's head gets nicely fixed into the pelvis, then she is halfway there.
Okay.
It is going to be much easier for her body to go through the birth process. And I always tell mothers that when we talk about natural birth, it is not just the responsibility of the medical community. It is. If you have a care provider who is going to support your natural birth process, your chances of having a natural delivery is actually much better. But the second half of that equation lies with the mother and the family also, which means you need to eat well. Nutritious food, lot of protein. Pregnancy, the amount of protein we get...
Protein.
Absolutely. The amount of protein we get is nowhere close to what it should be. At least about 100 approximately grams per day. If you're a vegetarian, it is going to be a fraction of that. Mm. So every meal you have to include protein. And while we're on the topic of protein, I'll tell you, amniotic fluid, majority is protein only. Baby's growth is the development comes from the protein intake. In fact, towards the end of the pregnancy, we tell mothers, please cut down on the carbs, increase the proteins, okay. so that there is no unnecessary weight gain, but the fetal development is happening well. So these are the aspects that I would tell, women to really, really focus on.
Okay.
And of course, lifestyle factors of enjoying this period where... it's definitely a time that will not come back, especially for first-time mothers. I feel that they need to really, not talking about exercise, not talking about fitness, not talking about anything else. It's a time of change for them. The time that they have right now with their partner, with their lifestyle, they should definitely have closure on it, enjoy as much as they can, so that they remember that period. And then after baby comes, life is going to change. It's going to change beautifully, but of course it brings with it many different challenges and responsibilities. So, yeah.
Beautifully put. So, the mind, body and baby concept, I just admired when you said, especially in the mind concept is very, very strong. So, there are a lot of literature today to support. Yeah. And if you look at the Indian texts,
yeah.
they have stories where the baby learns, baby or a character, baby or a mood, everything gets set inside the mom's stomach. So the maximum learning capacity is when you're in the womb, and then when you're out of the womb or first 4 or 5 years is where the baby learns a lot. So on the time, what the mom thinks,
definitely.
The baby absorbs, not just the body, even the mind. So brilliant. One issue that we face today, across the mind எல்லாம் நம்ம விட்டுட்டோம் அப்படின்னா, like you rightly said, medical community-யோட responsibility மட்டும் கிடையாது, it is the responsibility of the family. ஏன்னா இன்றைக்கி வி சி இந்த நட்சத்திரத்தில் இந்த டைமில் எனக்கு பேபி வேணும், கோ அண்ட் டு சிசேரியன், வேர் த மெடிக்கல் கம்யூனிட்டி இஸ் நாட் ஏபிள் டு சே நோ அட் மெனி பிளேசஸ். தெர் ஆர் சம் டாக்டர்ஸ், லைக் த டாக்டர் ஹூ செக் மை ஒய்ஃப் டஸ் நாட் ப்ரிஃபர் சிசேரியன் இஃப் தே கம் வித் த டேட். Mm. So there are people like that, but yeah. it's a profession. So
yeah.
My question leading to this is, ippo orthar prenatal care they are properly taking, appo the chances of natural delivery appindrathu evlo percentage increase avum? Let's say or person has a complicated family history appdin vechupom, that scenario one. Scenario two, first baby is a cesarean.
Hmm.
Now, second baby, they are coming for a prenatal care, they are doing exercises. And the second baby, can it be a natural delivery? Two parts.
So, when we do exercise in pregnancy, the goal of the exercise is to improve, especially when we talk about natural birth, the goal is to improve symmetry in the right and left part of the body. Very often we sit with one leg crossed, for example, or we have certain imbalances. One side becomes tight, the other side becomes loose. So these asymmetries will contribute to a possibility that the birth process will be challenging and it could end up in a C-section. Second reason for a C-section could be if a baby is very big, right, for gestational age, large for gestational age. How much control do we have on these things? So what I'm trying to get at is there are many medical reasons for a C-section. Like a baby who is over 4.5 kgs, not a baby who is 3.5 kilos, but I'm talking about a really large baby who could. Or a mother who has a cephalopelvic disproportion, really small pelvis in proportion to the baby's head. All these cases should be less than 11%, according to the World Health Organization, medical reasons for a C-section. The rest of them should technically be natural birth. Okay. But why we are seeing a rise in C-section rate over and above this is sometimes, of course, because of care providers who may be biased towards a C-section. It is true, unfortunately. Or it could be because of lack of preparation from the mother's side as well. In terms of preparation, I mean ensuring that you have enough pelvic mobility, pelvic symmetry. Hip mobility is very important. Sometimes the labor does not progress even after it has started. The baby will get stuck in a position. We've heard of many of these stories. Suddenly there will be an emergency C-section. These cases we can definitely improve with making sure we are including exercises to improve the movement in the bones. Baby has to pass through the pelvis. It is a bottleneck. It is a narrow area. Baby's head is pretty large. The baby's head, the skull is not fused. The sutures are floating. The skull bones are floating. When the baby's head passes through the mother's pelvis, the head bones will literally overlap, making the head smaller and making it fit through the pelvis. So much advantage we have in terms of the process. But if the pelvis is not moving well, if you don't have freedom of movement in the birthing room, if you're not able to sit, squat because of knee pain, hip pain, obesity, unfortunately, you will not be able to get into positions that will allow you to have a natural birth. Okay. So when it comes to someone who has an uncomplicated pregnancy, spent enough time taking care of her body, making sure she's eaten well, making sure she's exercised, there is good mobility in the pelvis, good symmetry in the pelvis. And now she's headed towards the birth process. She knows how to breathe during the contractions. She knows how to connect with her abdominal muscles to really push the baby out. One or two pushes, the baby should be out. We can prevent unnecessary C-sections that could have resulted from a lack of connection with the body during the birth process. Okay. Your second question about what are the chances you can prevent a C-section second time around. If you've had a C-section the first time, first of all, for people who don't know this, because we get this question all the time. If I've had a C-section once, does it mean it will be a C-section again? Not necessarily at all. You can go for a vaginal birth after C-section. Again, in this, body preparation is very important. Honestly, the same things apply, what applied for you the first time, whatever we were mentioning the first time around. To have a vaginal birth after C-section, though, you need to meet certain parameters. The gap between two babies should be at least 1.8 years, 1 year and 8 months. Less than that, they will not consider a vaginal birth. Because the uterus has to, the incision in the uterus has to have healed enough. 2 years is a good amount of time to give a gap between two babies, and then they are usually given a trial of labor before considering a C-section.
My wife's labor pain started at 8 o'clock in the morning, and around 6:40 is when my daughter
was
came
born.
Out. Yeah. So it was a normal delivery, and we were happy. The doctor was ready to wait.
That is the most important thing.
Yes.
It is preparation from the mother's side, family, everybody. Like, they should not insist that we want a certain date, certain time, certain hour. We see this, and not just this, we also see the impact of that. I was supporting a birth once where the mother was trying for a vaginal birth. And the care provider was in a rush because she had given time for another person's C-section delivery at a certain hour because that was an auspicious time. So unfortunately, sometimes you don't realize the impact of that carries over into another person's birth where they have to. So it is important. But then the second half of the responsibility, one half is with the family, with the mother, the second half is with the care provider.
நிறைய பேருக்கு வென் தே டூ அ பேபி பர்த் தே பிகம் வெரி வீக் ஆர் தே ஹாவ் டு கோ த்ரூ ஸ்டிச்சஸ் பிகாஸ் தேர் வெஜினல் வால் இஸ் டான். ஸோ அந்த மாதிரி கேசஸில் ஹவு டு யூ ஹெல்ப் தெம், டு யூ ஹெல்ப் தெம் ரிக்கவர் அதர் தேன் த மெடிக்கல் கேர் அப்படின்றத தவிர, கேன் தே டூ எனி திங் டு ரிக்கவர் ஃபாஸ்ட் இஃப் தேர் டன் அ குட் ப்ரீ நேட்டல் தென் இதுக்கான சான்சஸ் கம்மின்றது வி அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட். லெட்ஸ் சே சம்படி ஹேஸ் a complication during the delivery and after that they come to you, what would you do with them?
So we start with physiotherapy and rehab on the day they deliver. Actually, ideally first 6 weeks is a critical period. See, for example, if someone's done a total knee replacement, it's common knowledge that right after the procedure they come back to the recovery room, physiotherapist will come and will start the rehab. They have to teach them how to transfer, how to go, how to use the bathroom, how to complete activities of daily living. Immediately, we have to start moving the knee. Similarly, after giving birth, whether it is a vaginal birth or a C-section, movement has to start right away. Protected movement initially, and you need support around that protected movement. If we tell women that do everything but just don't lift weights, it is not enough guidance. We need to support them in that whole process. How will you pick up the baby? How will you bathe the baby? Ergonomics around this. How do you protect your back when you do this? Prenatally, you would have built strength so that you are able to, with ease, perform all of these duties. So after a C-section especially, it is a little challenging. There is pain. Even with a vaginal birth, as you rightly said, there is an episiotomy, which is they put stitches in the vaginal wall if there is tearing. It is at least 2 to 3 weeks of discomfort. So we initially teach mothers how to connect with their pelvic floor, how to reconnect, I would say, because the brain loses connection. On the first day after delivery, when you go and tell a mother, now you contract your pelvic floor, you relax. Even if she has come for yoga class before, she will look at you like, which I don't know what you're talking about. I feel numb over there. There's no sensation. So we have to rewire that connection initially. And once she's beginning to understand which muscles she has to use, sometimes we use overflow. We might ask her to activate her adductors, which are connected to the pelvic floor. Or we may ask her to just breathe out very forcefully. When you breathe out forcefully, automatically abdominals contract. Then they are like, oh, okay, now I know which muscle you're talking about. Once we rewire the muscle, interestingly, the recovery is much faster. But if there is no rewiring done in the early postpartum, I'm talking from the day of delivery to the first 2 weeks, early postpartum rehab. If you don't rewire the muscle, the problem is when she coughs, when she sneezes, which is very common if you have taken an epidural or a spinal block, sometimes they have wheezing. When they are talking, their air just gets sucked out of their lungs and they'll start coughing, which they cannot control. It's very common after giving birth. In that case, that impact will be felt on the stitches. And then it will be harder for them to recover with those. When they pick up their babies, when they do work around the house, that connection with the pelvic floor, if it is not there, it is going to put them at a bigger risk for prolapse, which we talked about previously, the uterus coming down, bladder coming down, rectum coming out, which is unfortunately quite common in the postpartum. These exercises are preventive. Early connection. After 2 weeks, we start teaching them how to do simple things like bridging, functional movements around the house. When she's putting the diaper for the baby, she will, most women stand and bend, and that can cause back injury. Sitting and breastfeeding for a long time, constantly hunching the upper back, all of these muscles become tight. In fact, we have cases where people have pain in the breast, which they think is related to breastfeeding, but it's actually related to tight pectorals.
Okay.
it's very important to start strengthening the muscles of the upper back. You can use simple bands, breathe out and contract the muscle using banded exercises. You can start stretches for the pectoral, full range exercises or cars for the upper body. Very, very useful to initiate that movement and mobility so that they don't develop neck pain, back pain, and all of those. By about 6 weeks, so 2 to 6 weeks is a period where we work on all of these muscles. At 6 weeks, we usually check the muscles, the mother's abdominal wall, to check if she has a diastasis, split in her abdominal wall. Now, everybody has a diastasis in their pregnancy. This is not something that people should be scared about. It has to separate to allow the baby to grow. Otherwise, the baby is not going to, there's no space for the baby. The thing is, at 6 weeks after giving birth, this gap should close. And it will happen if you are doing all the right movements in the first 6 weeks. Breathing correctly, connecting with your core correctly, changing the diaper correctly, not sitting and constantly breastfeeding in the wrong position. Have enough upper body strength to take pressure away from the abdominal wall. At 6 weeks, if it hasn't closed, and a small percentage of women, it will not close. This is actually called diastasis rectus abdominis. For the first 6 weeks, we don't consider it a pathology. Many times you'll have people come at 2 weeks and say, do I have a DR? Because they've seen it on Instagram. But we have to just reassure them that this is normal, teach them some breathing exercises, connection exercises, and send them off. At 6 weeks, if they continue to have it, then the chances that it will stay with them and not heal at all, even a year after, is very, very high. Now, how does this prevent progress for them? If they have a diastasis rectus abdominis, they need to now do very focused second stage rehab. First stage is in the first 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. Second stage rehab is to ensure you're working with a trained physiotherapist. This knowledge is not common across all physiotherapists. There is specialized training you need to do to know how to work with these women. I see a lot of incorrect exercise prescription, which is why I'm mentioning it. What happens is, if you don't close this gap and don't work correctly, or it could be someone who specializes in it, not necessarily. When you do certain exercises like planks, crunches, or sometimes even squats, you will see the abdominal contents bulge out of that gap. It looks conical. And this is going to cause a lot of problems in the long run for this mother. It can be hernia, it can be back pain, it can be. There is no link with prolapse, but yeah, there is a potential that it will cause, you know, there's no stability. Unfortunately, this causes a vicious cycle. Because she has this problem, she has fear to exercise. Because she's afraid to go to the gym and exercise, she will not do anything at all. That makes her weaker, more deconditioned. And then there's more fear to go to the gym, because when you walk into a gym, and this is very true for especially postpartum women, their bodies have changed. They look very different. They feel uncomfortable in their skin. They are not able to love their bodies for what they are. I mean, they have nurtured a baby, they've given birth, they've done all of these things, they should be given a medal. But unfortunately, the focus is, now I'm looking like this. I find a lot of women come and tell me that I don't want to go to a gym because I don't feel comfortable with how I look. I feel what our role is to bring them from that point of health to fitness. We play the bridge.
நிறைய பேர் வந்து போஸ்ட் ப்ரெக்னென்சி வந்து நிறைய பேர் எப்படி வருவாங்க அப்படின்னா இல் ஜஸ்ட் கம் அண்ட் சே ஐ நீட் டு லூஸ் வெயிட் தட்ஸ் த மென்டாலிட்டி பிகாஸ் அன்ஃபார்ச்சுனேட்லி தெர் ஆர் லாட் ஆஃப் கேர்ள்ஸ் ஒரு 15 20 கிலோ வந்து தே கெயின் வெயிட் ஸோ தே லுக் டிஃப்ரெண்ட் அண்ட் தே ஃபியர் ஓகே மை ஹஸ்பண்ட் இஸ் நாட் கிவிங் மீ இனஃப் அட்டென்ஷன் என்னோடய ஒர்க் பிளேஸ்க்கு போனால் தெர் இஸ் நோ இனஃப் அட்டென்ஷன் தே வாண்ட் டு லூஸ் வெயிட் குவிக்லி இந்த ப்ராசஸில் மெனி பீப்புள் வாண்ட் டு ஸ்டார்ட் right after like 2 weeks, 3 weeks of intense, I need to lose 15 kgs, 20 kgs, they come up with a lot of aspirations. But nareya edathila I'll have to turn down clients. I just need to get things right. Like you said, the diastasis recti. Even after 6 weeks or 7 weeks, yaradu varangana, primary vandu we say, okay, or a plank pudinga, is there any discomfort? They'll have sharp shooting pain in the middle of the abdomen. Then I say, you will have to meet an expert.
Yeah.
Either fix pannadhaan, you'll be able to work out hard. even if we work out now, I'll have to avoid a lot of exercises.
Correct. Yeah.
Your progress is going to be slow. So this is something that one point that, you know, like right now, a lot of trained trainers know. If a girl post-delivery wants to come back into her old sport, okay, for example, one of my clients, like namma in the conversation ku munadi pesitirundhom, my daughter came and saw one of my client, her name is Nami Rai. So vandu Chennai la vandu national deadlift meet pannumbodhu, she is setting up the record across weight category, 54 kilo category la pandra, above 100 category oda she is lifting more.
Wow.
She is getting the best lifter award, and avloda the way people treated her, celebrated her, adha paatha enoda daughter wanted to start lifting. That was the moment she said, Appa, I want to lift. Okay. So this girl did that 14 months after her delivery.
Wow.
Okay. So 6 months after her delivery, she started working back on her strength, got everything back. And now her numbers have increased 2 years later in over 30 kgs on her deadlift. Okay. So which is the right time? இப்போ ஒரு கிராஸ்ஃபிட் அத்லீட்டாக இருக்கட்டும், இல்லை ஒரு மேரத்தான் அத்லீட்டாக இருக்கட்டும், லைக் யூ செட் லீக்கிங் ப்ராப்ளம் இருந்தால் யூ ஹாவ் ஸ்பெசிஃபிக் டெஸ்ட் தட் யூ டூ, பட் இட்ஸ் எ ஜென்ரல் கைட்லைன். தேவ் ஹேட் அ டெலிவரி, தே அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் தே ஆர் ஃபங்க்ஷனல், ஒரு விதமான ப்ராப்ளமும் இல்லை அப்படின்னும் போது, வென் கேன் தே ஸ்டார்ட் இன்டென்ஸ் ட்ரைனிங். ஃபார் எக்ஸாம்பிள் டயட் அப்படின்னு வரும்போது ஐ கிவ் தம் அ கைட்லைன், அன்டில் யூ ஆர் பிரெஸ்ட் ஃபீடிங். பேலன்ஸ் நியூட்ரிஷன் இஸ் மோர் இம்பார்ட்டண்ட் தேன் a nutrition for losing fat.
Definitely.
So, on the madri guidelines nu varumbodhu, or athlete or somebody who wants to take up an intense sport, when should they start?
No, it doesn't have to be slow. You, in fact, we want to, if someone who is very already lifting, very athletic, honestly, it is better to bring them. Early postpartum rehab is important. Some people will not have any problems. You know, they don't have a diastasis, they don't have leaking, they don't have any foundational issues. And simple 12 sessions where you just teach them to reconnect. Sometimes people come to our classes and they are surprised that they never did focus on their breath so much when they move. And that for us is priceless. We feel that we have made, even with the strongest of athletes, we break somewhere that in their mind that I didn't know this, and this is going to actually help me lift better, because breathing is the how you breathe, how you connect with your breath when you lift is very important. When they discover the strength of their pelvic floor and add that to their lift, they realize they can actually power even more. So I love it when that happens. But some people don't need very long, it's not a very long process for some people. As soon as they have found this connection, they are able to, like I said, do these activities without leaking. There's no pelvic pressure. There's no symptoms of prolapse. They can gradually, progressively return to high intensity training. And that is a given. It cannot be a sudden jump. Mm. The mindset is very important over here. I find that with high performance individuals, like athletes, fitness instructors, women who train, they are addicted to exercise, right? Like they feel normal if they do these things. And at that intensity, I can't compare myself to that level either, right? I do understand how that makes them feel about themselves or their body. Now they have had a baby and they are asked to put the brakes on this. We have to help them understand that it is not permanent. It is only a pause. And the goal is to slowly, progressively build back the strength, just like you did it the first time around. This time, it won't be as slow. It'll be much faster. But you have to respect that your body has done all of this work. It's just the same principles of progressive loading that you would follow with strength training and with powerlifting. So we don't want to put a glass, we don't want to put a ceiling on anyone and tell them that you have to wait for 6 months before you start, or you cannot accomplish this 1 year after you've given birth. It really depends on individual's body and their ability to jump back and rehabilitate. if you are supporting some of these women, I would say it's very important to recognize their mindset. If they are trying to go too fast, then you need to rein them in and say, this is what we will do, right? Because it is going to have an impact on other aspects of their life at this point. Up to 6 months, they are definitely still in the recovery phase.
Okay.
But I won't say that you should not challenge yourself. If you're able to do it without any leaking, pain, discomfort, then progressively keep every week, keep inching forward until you get back. And for some people, it'll be very quick. And for some, it'll be very slow. But if you start doing, if you start feeling any discomfort and start pushing through the pain, even if it's a nagging pain, pubic pain is very common. With the postpartum women who return too early to exercise. Tailbone pain is another one. I wouldn't say push through this pain, heal it fully first and then jump back.
First, nama body recover aayiduchaanu, we understand. Adu aanadukaprom, we start slow, baby step by baby step. Incrementally, we overload. We don't jump directly to the old loads.
Yeah.
So, just wanted to quote here, you know the famous woman fighter Ronda Rousey?
Yeah.
So, avanga vandu, she finished her contract with MMA and she was with WWE. So, WrestleMania, she came, she fought, she won the match, ran back to the caravan to feed her baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, andalavuki, it is possible.
Yeah.
But understanding namma enna care eduthirukkom, how much we can push is very important.
Definitely. It's one of the most important things. And also, we don't want to tell women you can't do it. Of course, you can do it. Mm. Also, people who are in the public eye doing all these things, who are going to be role models to other women, it's important for them to talk about their journey. How hard it was for them to get back. How much they worked to get back. Now, so people who are looking at them from the outside shouldn't think that it was easy. Or, you know, she went back to doing, you know, lifting that heavy so quickly after she gave birth, but has she seen the journey? So I think it's very important to, you know, talk about those.
During pregnancy, nama workout pannala abindradhalam paathom. So there is a CrossFitter, you might know, Taya Claire abindru. She's a champion. So avanga 8 months, 9 months pregnant a irukumbodhellam vandu we see Instagram videos where avanga box jump pandranga, heavy clean and jerk pandranga, squat pandranga. Is this safe? Ippo orthar regular a CrossFit pannit irukanga appadina avanga indha alavukku intense workout avangaloda third trimester la seiyalama.
Whether it is safe, you know, the human body is quite amazing in that sense. It is very resilient. Pregnancies are meant to work. It depends on how much she has conditioned her body. The level at which she was working before, it is definitely not possible for the average person to do whatever she has, her body has been able to do. But that being said, that kind of impact in a pregnancy, the only negative side effect that I can see of that is pelvic pain. Because the joints have some amount of movement in them, more than normal during a pregnancy period. And if you're going to do box jumps, it's possible that it could aggravate pain conditions. Now, whether she had pain when she did it or not, we don't know. We are only seeing the fact that she's doing these jumps. It is not recommended by the guidelines to include high impact activities. Low impact, moderate intensity is what is recommended to ensure that the pregnancy goes well and that your body is adjusting. There's a lot of physiological changes in pregnancy itself. Lung volume is low because the baby is up here. Mm. You're not able to take deep breaths.
Your posture is changed.
And what impact will that have on her abdominal muscles during the healing and recovery period? It can lead to a diastasis. That kind of an impact, because the abdominal wall is getting overstretched and then loaded under that impact. The muscle, the rectus abdominis, which is what separates, is connected on both sides with a thin tissue called the linea alba. It's like a pair of tights. leggings that you see. When you stretch it and keep it stretched, and if you keep stretching it from that point on, if you leave it, it will not go back to its original shape. It will get overstretched and then lose its shape altogether. These are the dangers of doing some of these exercises. Whether it was right for her to do it or not, like if you look at the medical guidelines, we say definitely no impact. High intensity workouts are debatable. If you can breathe through it, if you can breathe through the lift, if you can breathe through the clean jerk, why not? But only the impact that you're talking about, box jumps, I would say it's not good for women to attempt it, looking at someone else who's doing it, because we don't know her level of fitness. And yeah, definitely very, very controversial.